in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. 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 It's a privilege to stand here, mostly amongst children of the Most High God, and mostly about we know that the King of Kings is here this morning. Can we pray? Father, I come into your presence right now, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you, O Lord, will begin to beckon, and Father, you will touch, you will heal, you will prepare. Father, I pray this morning, my God, for every person that is in your presence. Lord, you begin to make us know who you are. We will be none to ask, who is that? For we'll know you and we will feel you. We thank you this morning, my God, for your precious blood, your Son, this beautiful season that you have given us, my God. And we know and we believe, Father, that you've come to change the world. Today we ask you to touch, and Father, most of all, to go into the bone and the marrow, and let us believe that you are the risen Savior. Amen. 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 I hope you're enjoying this sermon series of Masquerade. Amen. And I hope somewhere, even if it is just a sentence, maybe it doesn't apply to you, it applies to somebody else, then you can go around sharing and teaching how we can overcome our hurts and sins. And if it's not so, I hope you're just enjoying the songs and the worship and everybody else. So I just want to tell you something that has happened many, many years ago. And it was Pastor Duran must have been like 7 years old, and his brother Brando was about 5 years old. And we said, okay, this child is growing, let us give him a little bit of responsibility to do. Because Duran would go around and drop everything or break everything. And he was just that type of a child. So his dad suggested, let's give him some responsibility. And the easiest thing we thought is, let's give him to polish and shine his school shoes and his brother's school shoes. So we looked into buying that little round polish and realized that's going to be a disaster. He's probably going to get it into everything else but his shoes. And then we came across that lovely polish that was a liquid one that just had a little sponge on it on the top. And all you needed to do was apply it on the shoe. And we said, great, now he can learn something. And we bought him that, and we were excited to introduce this little gadget to him and how he could polish up the shoes. So his dad suggested, don't put him outside, because we had a little dog, and that dog would always take the mats and take the shoes and chew up the buns and chew up anything that was in front of us. So he would chew the kids' school shoes. And we said, let's put him in the spare room and he can go and practice. And there he was practicing, and I was busy cooking. A young mom trying to run the machine, trying to run the food, trying to catch up with Brando's homework. And so when we had done, and it was time for bath, and I called Brando and I said, Brando, you come first. Let's go and have a bath. And you know, Brando, when he was little, he had just like little eyes, two slits of eyes there. But when he came to me that day, he had like big flying saucers. And I looked at him and I said, I wonder whether this child's getting sick or whatever. But we gave him, rubbed him down, gave him a bath, and I called for Duran, and he didn't come. And then I called for him again, and he kind of reluctantly said, like, he's finished. So I got into the room and I saw there was towels placed on the carpet. And that's the first thing. I didn't even look at him. I looked at the towels and I said, what are the towels doing all over the carpet? And I lifted it up, and there was blotches of polish. There was blotches of polish. And I gave him a spanking that day. I said, Duran, how can you do this? How can you mess up such an easy task? I whacked him. I grumbled him for all I care. And I stood up and I looked in the wall. And believe you me, there was polish on the wall. There was polish on the curtains. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was like when you have like a quarter cup of coffee and you want to fling it and you realize you've got a bit of the wall in it. It looked like that. He didn't really intentionally put it, but there were splashes all over. And then I realized that when we were showing him how to polish the shoe, we had shaken the polish like this and polished the shoe. So that was the first thing he grabbed. So every time he got to shaking a few marks, he shook the polish and the polish zipped all over the walls, and then he got to polish the shoe, and then he shook it again and the polish went on the curtains and he didn't see it because obviously he was so short. And he managed to cover up the spot that he could see only. And sometimes we are like that. We want to just cover up the spaces of failure and the spaces of sin that people can see in our lives. So I'm glad he's big and I'm glad he doesn't do it anymore. So and today I'm gonna preach on hiding your sin. Just hiding your sin. And I want to make it a bit lighter, is hiding our failures. Because I think we all sin. So it's hiding our failures in life that bring us down. And there are two ways that we could deal with our sin. And the first is to conceal the sin. We want to conceal the sin. Maybe we want to cover it up. Maybe we don't want to believe we caught in that. And I believe that it started way, way, way back. In Genesis, in the very first book, we look and we learn that there was Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve was in the garden. And whilst they were there, the Lord said to them, "Don't eat of this particular fruit." But we all know, we men, we know what they did. They went and ate of the fruit. And the serpent came and he enticed them. He enticed Eve. And she ate of the fruit and she took it and she gave it to Adam. And he ate of the fruit. And then after that, they realized that they were naked. And they hid in the garden and the Lord came through. And the Lord said, "Adam," as if the Lord didn't know what they had done. But he said, "Adam." And Adam hid. He hid under the tree. And the Lord passed by and he called again, "Adam, where are you?" And he came out and he said, "Lord, I am here." And the Lord said, "Why are you hiding?" It's just like us. We want to run behind our mask. And Adam stood behind his mask and he said to the Lord, "You see, Satan managed to get Eve to eat of the fruit. And Eve gave it to me. And then, Lord, I ate it. I think it was Satan's fault, but I ate it." We stand behind the mask. And the Lord said to him, "Go, go, and I will clothe you." God still forgives every sin that we go through. And we look at Cain and Abel, and they were two brothers, and they made an offering to the Lord. And Cain's offering was accepted to the Lord, and Abel was very jealous. Very, very jealous that his brother's offering was offered, taken by the Lord. And that sounds familiar, like some of us. And he was so cross and so hurt by this that he actually murdered his brother, buried him, and carried on his chores. And the Lord came by and he said, "Cain, where are you?" And Cain answered back to the Lord. And he wore his mask. And he said, "Cain, where is your brother Abel?" And he said, "I don't know, Lord. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" We conceal all what we want to do, even though God knows everything. We look at Joseph and his brothers. And Joseph, every morning, woke up and he said he had this lovely dream. And he dreamt that his brothers were worshiping him. And he dreamt again that he was going to be the ruler. And he nauseated his brothers with all his big brothers with all his dreams. And his dad loved him too much. He was the apple of the eye. So they got fed up and they plotted and they came up on a scheme. Let's get rid of this Joseph. He is a problem to us. And they sold him to the Egyptians. When they sold him to the Egyptians, they brought back his coat, his favorite coat, with the rabbit blood on it. And they went to their dad and they said, "Dad, we don't know what happened to Joseph. We only found this coat, Dad. And it was covered in blood. I think the wild animals had caught him." And the dad said, "You sure? You looked everywhere?" And they said, "We don't know where he is." They always wore a mask when we want to conceal what we don't want others to know. And today, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to put your hands up here. It's not too hard. We're not going to do any press-ups. And then we're going to roll. We're going to roll just against your face. Just against your face. And we're going to roll. And we're going to roll. And we're going to peel. 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 And we're going to peel and throw away the masks that we wear. Especially the spiritual masks. Especially the spiritual masks. We're going to throw it away today. And today we're not worried who's richer, who's more educated, who's better, who's prettier, who's anything. We want to be a family of God. And today I want to preach to you on David and Bathsheba. I always get caught preaching on David and Bathsheba. So I want to read to you from the Bible on David and Bathsheba. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out to the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Edomites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. It says at that time, all the kings had to go out to war. All the kings went out. It was time for war. But David stayed in home. One evening, David got up from his bed and he walked around the roof on the palace. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. I don't have to explain that part. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent the messengers to Gera. She came to him and she slept with him. Now she was purifying herself from the monthly uncleanliness. And then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. This whole summary, the story summed up in 5 verses. It just took 5 verses to be a scene in David's life. I think it was just a scene in David's life. He just starts, it's just like some of us. We look at our failure and we say, you know, I don't know how it happened to my husband. But he just started working a little bit later and a little bit later and a little bit later. And then it just happened. 2 lines. I don't know what happened to her. She just started wearing the dresses a little bit shorter and a little bit shorter and a little bit shorter. And then I lost her. Few lines. I don't know what happened to my children. They just came home a little bit later and a little bit later and a little bit later, and then they never came back home. I lost them. Or maybe you're going to say, I don't know how I got into this failure. I just took 1 beer. And then it was 2 beers. And then it was a bit stronger and stronger and stronger. And now I am caught in a rut. I don't know how it happened. It takes a few sentences of the chapter in our life to get us down. Just a few. And King David, I believe, was in a wrong place where he was not supposed to be. Because we heard he was supposed to be at war. He was supposed to be at war. So I believe he was just in the wrong place. He wasn't supposed to be. He saw something he wasn't supposed to see, which led him to do something he wasn't supposed to do. And it cost him far more than he ever wanted to pay. And that's what happens to us. One day there was a lady who was a married woman. And I believe she came and she visited us and she explained the little story of her lifetime, how she had got hooked up with another man, and that man was a married man, and they just could share anything and everything together, their life stories. And I said to her, but why? What happened? Why did you allow this to happen? And she says, oh, but Pastor, you know, when I look into his eyes, oh, they were such starry eyes. And you know, when I get that tingle when I pass by him, and I just feel a different sensation. And then maybe he said, oh, you know, when I smell that perfume, I just can't resist it. I just can't resist the presence around this man. Well, I can't resist the presence around this woman. I want to say to you that what has gone wrong? What's happened? What happened that attracted us to somebody else while still we are married? I think sometimes we are failures and have sometimes to us to blame, because when we look at us women, how do we go to bed? We are wearing a tracksuit to bed. We are wearing bobby socks to bed. We are wearing beanies to bed. We are overdressed going to bed. And the man gets put off. I want to tell you something. Be appealing. Be loving. Be who God ordained you to be. And give him what God has promised him to be. What happened to the man? Brush your teeth. Have a bath. What? Why is she looking on the other side? Why is she getting attracted on the other side? And sometimes, I want to tell you, it's just an atmosphere you need to set up. Go and tell her, I love you. Not at 9 o'clock in the night when she's fast asleep. Not that time. Go at 4 o'clock. Go at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Offer your help. Offer your help. Put away the dishes. Tell her how beautiful she is. Don't tell her she looks nice in the new haircut, because she had that haircut last week and you didn't notice. You are going to rig up a fight. You didn't plan to do it. Please, choose your words, men. Tell her, oh, that beautiful red just blends with your skin. You look so awesome today, my dear. Stay in the present. Stay in the present, men, or you're going to get busted. Start at 4 o'clock. Set the atmosphere and tell how good she cooked the food. You think that men are stupid when they're bathing the kids and changing the kids and sharing the meal? They are preparing the atmosphere for a good evening, which leads to a healthy lifestyle, to a good marriage. That's where we're going, to a good marriage. I believe David was standing on the rooftop. And he probably came up from a nap and he was just enjoying his afternoon. And he looked down there and he saw a hot chick. He couldn't resist this hot chick that he saw down there. And he called up and he said to his messenger, go out there and find out who that woman is. Go out there and find out who she is. And let me know. And the messenger came up, and I loved this messenger because he chose his words. He came back and he said, oh, king, that is Bathsheba, but she is the daughter of the Hittite. She is the daughter of somebody, meaning that she comes from a good family. You know, when somebody wants to describe someone, they say, you know, Leanne, she is the daughter of Stephen Naidu. He's placing who she is. And, but king, she is the wife of Uriah. He chose his words. He just didn't go and say, she is Bathsheba. He said, whom the woman is. And he said, well, king, please don't interfere with her, because you have enough wives and you have enough concubines. She is somebody else's woman. But the king said to the messenger, go and tell her, I need her. Go and tell her, come up to the room. He summoned for Bathsheba. Why Bathsheba? Some of us want to know. Why was she bathing in the view of the king? It didn't say she was bathing on the rooftop. It says he was on the rooftop, but she was having a bath. So I believe she was bathing in the view of the king. Why was she bathing? Do you think maybe it was too cold and maybe she wanted to get a bit of rays of the sunlight? She was feeling a bit cold. There was no heaters those days, so I pardon her. Maybe she thought that the king was gone because her husband was the captain of the army and he was gone to war and all the men were gone to war, and she thought that David was gone to war and she was quite free to do what she wanted. Maybe she just didn't care. She was completely unaware. Or maybe she just knew her neighbors coming in and going out, just like all of us know. We know when they go in and when they come out and when they're at home and when they're eating. And she knew that the king was there. And maybe, just maybe, she wanted to trap him so she could have a seat at the throne, being the queen of Israel. We never know why. But I want to say to you that when David sent for her. He created a love triangle. He created what we call a love triangle. And sometimes we ourselves are involved in that. We are in a love triangle. And very soon, Bathsheba had to write to David, and he had to tell her, David got caught in the lust of the flesh. That's what we call it. That failure and that sin is called the lust of the flesh. And Bathsheba had to write to him. And I can't imagine the words, and I can't imagine how she must have battled to write to him. She must have said, "Oh, honorable king," then scrap that paper. Then she must have said, "Hi, David," because now she's close to him. And then she said, "No, that's not fit for a king," and scrap that paper. And then she must have said, "To the king of Israel." I don't know what she went through, but I just got to imagine how she must have wrote a king a letter. And she sent him this letter, and the messenger brought the letter, and it just said three words. It sure didn't say, "I love you." It didn't say, "I miss you." It said, "I am pregnant." And we don't want to hear that when we're caught in a love triangle. "I am pregnant." But David opened it and he read it and he said, "I am king. I have power. I have money. I have everything. I am the king of Israel. Can one woman bring me down? I am not afraid to go through this." So he said, "I have a plan. I will summon her husband, Uriah, for I have the authority to do that. I will summon Uriah to come back home. I will give him a weekend pass. And when he comes back home, he will lay with his wife. And then he will believe that that is his child." Sound a little bit like our failures when we want to cover up what we do? Sounded like a good plan then. And there came Uriah, wondered why the king summoned him, and he came home. And here he came home for the first day. He probably ate, but he sat at the gate. And maybe, just maybe, we can learn from Uriah. He sat at the gate. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. He worried about the king. He worried about the country. He said, "How can I go and lay with my wife when my men are dying out there? How can I go and have a good time when my men are killing themselves? They are fighting for the country. I will sit out there. I won't defile myself." And the king heard about it and he said, "How stupid Uriah is. I will completely make him a dinner and I will make him drunk." So the next day he called him in and he gave him a good meal and he made him very, very drunk. And Uriah was nice and drunk and he felt all good, and the king was very happy because he could see his plan coming together. And Uriah went and sat at the gate again. He did not go to Bathsheba. And he had a weekend pass, so the next morning he woke up, he jumped on his horse and he was going to war. And David was back to square one. And he said, "What a fool Uriah is. Couldn't he go and sleep with his woman? I know what I will do." And then he said, "I will dispatch Uriah to the front line. And when he goes to the front line in battle, he will surely die." And that is exactly what King David did. He dispatched him to the front line. He was the captain. He was the most trained man. He was the most worthy man. He was innocent. He was innocent. But he went to the front line and surely he died. He died that day. King David waited for the funeral procession. He waited for all the rituals and he married Bathsheba. Sin always costs us more than we can imagine. Sin always costs us far more than we even planned where we started for. Maybe we're just like David, and you're gonna say, "I'll never do that. I will never murder. I will never go thus far." But you know, sometimes we kill in a small way. Maybe you got somebody on your phone and you go chitter chat and carry on messaging while your poor spouse is busy planning on what meal to cook or what bill to pay, and you are busy messaging and you go delete, and you message and you go delete, and you go message and you go delete. Thank God for the delete button. And you know what you got heading on your SMS button? You got the mum too. You call the other spouse, the other partner, mum too. Why? Because when she passes by, she sees you talking to your mum. She don't want to talk to your mum. She don't have anything to do with your mum. So she lets you be. We got it all planned out, just like David. Sometimes we get hurt in our relationships, we get bored in our relationships, and we don't know what to do, and we say, I'm going to fix him. I'm going to go back to my old fling. And what we do, we go back on Facebook 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the line, and we hook up with the old flame. And we go by the same sentence, hi. I didn't do anything, I only asked hi. And they get very happy, come chatting back, hi, how are you? So it begins, and so the journey begins. Why is it called a flame? The old flame is because you're starting a fire. And let me tell you, when you start that fire, you're gonna get burnt. You're gonna get burnt. So don't be a David in the modern way. Understand and know that the simple things lead us and take us to destruction. When we try to cover our sin, God uncovers it. The more you try to cover your sin, God uncovers our sin. I think God got fed up, he got tired of looking at David, letting him down, always failing. God looked at David and he said, you know, I'm tired of looking at bold and beautiful. I'm tired of looking at Ridge trying to run from one woman to the other. I need to fix this man up. I need to sort him out a little bit. Because you know why? Sometimes, just sometimes when we sin, there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. Sometimes we don't pay it and sometimes we pay it. And God said to him, you need to confess your sin. You need to confess your sin, David, but before you do it, I am going to send a man to you, and he is called Nathan. He's the next character that we're going to see. He's called Nathan, and Nathan is a prophet. In those days, when you needed to hear a word of God, if you needed to hear anything, especially the kings, a prophet would come and give them a word. And there came a prophet to King David. And David thought everything was okay, and then Nathan said to David, David, I got something to share with you today. And I want to say you that there are two men that I want to discuss with you. At that time, the king was the judge. The king was the ruler. So if you had done wrong, they would come to you and the king would pass the sentence. So he came and he said, oh, David, there are two men. One was a very, very, very rich man. He had thousands and thousands of lands everywhere. Wherever you look, there were lands everywhere. Thousands of lands in his estate. And there was another man. He was a poor man. He had one lamb. Oh, I think they gave him a name. You know, when you have one thing, they made him a pet. He was a pet. He was the loved one of the family. The lamb ate to the family. The lamb had a bath. I mean, David couldn't bathe his thousand lambs, but this man loved his lamb. He was a poor lamb. He just loved his lamb. He bathed him, he fed him, he did everything with this one little lamb. And then one day a traveler passed by, and he passed through the rich man's home. And the rich man went to the poor man, and he took the lamb of the poor man, and he slaughtered it, and he offered it to the traveler. The king said, what? Is that what he did? And Nathan says, how, O Lord, will we punish this man? And he said, he wouldn't give back four times more. That was the law at that time. If you had taken one, you give back four. this man needs to be punished. He needs to be killed. And Nathan said to him, my Lord, I want to say you something. You are that man. You are that man. For you have many women in your palace. You have many concubines. But you took the one woman that Uriah had. He only had one whom he loved and he cherished and he ate with. For you are that man. And today, I bring your punishment. The Lord says, because you, O David, love God so much. We all know how much David loved God. David loved God with everything that he had. He loved him ultimately. And he said, because you love God so much, you will not die. But the child that Bathsheba carries will die. And David was sad. He was disappointed. He didn't know what he did. And he said, oh Lord, I will confess my sin to you. I confess, Lord, I am sorry I did this. I'm bitterly sorry. And it's the same with you and I today. We are bitterly sorry for what we start or going to start. Know that we can confess your sin. David went to the Lord and he confessed. And sure as spoken from the prophet Nathan, 7 days as soon as he left the castle, 7 days later, the baby died. The baby died. So I believe that King David had borne his punishment. But after he buried his child, he remembered who he was. Was he David the adulterer that we must remember him by? He was David the rogue who stole another man's wife? No, he was an anointed man of God. He was after God's own heart. He woke up and he realized, hang on, I have a God. Even though I go through a failure today, you may go through a failure of gambling. Maybe you go through a failure of gossiping and lying and cheating. Maybe you always cheat in different ways. Maybe you have anger and temper and pride. You may be not thinking you're as bad as David the murderer, but you have a different son. God says it's okay. When you remember who you are, you just go back to God and you say, Father, I confess this sin. Forgive me, Lord. Take your position again. Take your position for who you are, because you know who your God is. You know who your God is. Your God is the everlasting. He will never let you down. David then went back and he wrote this. Sorry, this was not David's writing. This is for me to share with you. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Simple, it means all we need to do is ask forgiveness. He will cleanse you immediately, without a ritual, without a sacrifice, without anything. If you believe it, if you stop using our masks and believe it, he will forgive us. David wrote this Psalms, and he wrote 10 other Psalms after this. It gives us inspiration to know that even in our failure, God can use us. Even in your failure, even in your lowness, even in your sin, and after it, God can use you. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, O Lord. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. It is the same scripture that we draw strength today. And 10 more David began to write. It takes me back to say, did David need to sin to share those scriptures with us? Maybe. Maybe because he felt this deep pain. He felt this deep confession he needed to do to share with you and I today. I believe it was not a coincidence. It was for us today. Let us stand today. Let us not look at our spouse, our neighbors, our colleagues and our friends. Let us look at ourselves today. You know where you fail. You know where you go wrong. Sometimes we just have a bitter heart. Today we're going to ask God to cleanse it. You're going to lift your hand for yourself today. For nobody else but yourself today. Father, we come into your presence today, my God. And today, Holy Spirit, Lord, we may not stand here like David, Lord, with lies and adultery and murder and death and whatever he went through. But Father, we still stain our souls with the sin of the world. Lord, I pray for those that don't believe on you. I pray for those that are caught with the spirit of alcohol, for those that are caught with the spirit of pornography, for those that are caught with the spirit of lies and gossiping, for those, my God, have temper and pride, for those, my God, who don't know you, my Jesus, but learn to know you. My God, today I pray for every person in this place and myself included. I pray, Lord, forgive us for our sins today. Wash us, my God, from all unrighteousness. As David cried out unto you and said, Father, according to our failures, my God, according to your great compassion that you have for us, blot it out, my God, blot it out from people's minds. Lord, so quick people are calling us murderers, so quick people are calling us adulterers or rogues. Blot it out of their minds, my God. And Father, wash away my iniquity and cleanse me today from all my sin. Renew me today, my Father, that 2019, I pray thee, my God, that we will be new creatures, we will be great creatures, we will be anointed men and women of God. Lord, use us, I pray thee. That is our prayer today. Use our children. Use us. Help them to stand up and say, I want to be used as a child of God because my sins are behind me. I want to be used as a child of God because He, O King, has washed it away from me. Who are you to point to them? I stand clean. I stand white. I stand with the robe of righteousness because my Jesus has paid it all for us. Thank you, Jesus. Cleanse us today. Protect us, my God. Love us, my Jesus. And teach us, Holy Spirit, to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name.